Welcome to A Shelter in a Time of Storm. My name is Roger Comstock. I'm glad you could be with us today. Our program we deal with some difficult subjects, and today is no exception. We've talked about some similar things in the past, but I'm going to go a little bit different direction today. You know, when you begin to talk about someone's children, it gets very, very personal and very emotional very quickly. Children are very special to us, and many of us in our culture today, many grandparents are now directly involved in the rearing of the grandchildren. And so this lesson, I think, really applies to most all of us. And the psalmist said in Psalm 127 that it is a great blessing to have children. And he said it indicates that the more children you have, the better it is. That they are a blessing, a heritage of the Lord. And so children certainly are very special in our lives. We've done some lessons previously about how emotional and how difficult it is when Christian parents have children that have become unfaithful, children that were Christians at one time and maybe when they were still in the household, but now grown children that have become unfaithful. And though that's a very emotional situation and very difficult subject to talk about. A lot of Christian parents blame themselves because their children are not what they ought to be, and they know they've been taught, and they just have made maybe some very, very poor choices in their lives. And so many faithful Christian parents struggle and carry a load of guilt because their children are not what they need to be in relationship to God. And so I try to encourage, in the lessons we've done previously on this subject, we've tried to encourage parents in that very area that, we're imperfect at best as parents, and so it really is a challenge. I want to talk about, first of all, I want to talk about some goals for Christian parents, and this program typically is not about family things per se. We have some other programs on GBN that talk about specific family things, but I want to talk about kind of lay some groundwork today for the main thrust of our lesson. First of all, the best thing a Christian parent can do is to be the right kind of an example, to reflect God in the home and in their lives. And, you know, children are going to see what you do and imitate what you do much more readily than they listen and respond to our teaching and our instructions to them. And so it is so important. And you know, children can see right through our hypocrisies. So when we say one thing and we do something differently, our children pick up on that. They read that and they understand. And as they get a little older, they'll call those things into question. And you'll have to give some hard questioning from the children because you haven't lived the way you've indicated that they should live. And so it's very important to be the right kind of an example. Guide your children to an understanding of God's Word, and you have to understand God's Word in order to do that, to help them understand God's Word. It's not enough just to learn memory verses and to be able to recite some of the wonderful stories of the Bible. We have to come to an understanding and help our children come to an understanding. We're going to talk in some more detail about some of these other things, but one of our responsibilities as parents is to protect our children and to provide for our children, to protect them from anything that can bring harm to them. And sometimes we forget to protect them from those things that can bring harm to their spiritual well-being, and that we are to provide for them all the things that they need. We provide for them physically, certainly, by providing the food that they need and the proper nutrition and the all the right things they need to grow properly and to come to a full maturity physically. But we take enough interest in their spiritual well-being, one of the four areas in which all of us grow and have grown from our youth. We need to instill the truths of God's Word in them. Again, it's not enough just to teach them the Bible stories and teach them about Jesus and His death on the cross. Those are wonderful things and necessary. But we need to instill in our children the simple fact that God's Word is truth. And just really pound, that's not a good choice of words maybe, but to really instill in them the fact that God's Word is truth. No question about it, no ifs, ands, or buts, as we sometimes say, but God's Word is truth, and that they then must be willing to accept truth and have a good, healthy respect for Scripture. You see, when I believe that it is God's Word, inspired of God, we'll talk about that a little bit later, but when I believe that, and believe that in being inspired of God, it is truth, that it is everything that I need for my spiritual and for really my physical well-being as well. It gives me everything I need, Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4. And so when I understand that and I can instill those things in my children, then hopefully we can build a proper respect for Scripture. So that as they grow and mature and they learn the things that they need to be teaching, they can go to God's Word as that source of authority. I think it's also important that we sort of implant in them what I would refer to as a godly worldview. You know, there are a lot of different worldviews and paganism and all kinds of things and just different philosophies of life. We need to instill in our children God's philosophy of life. And we have to, again, come to that understanding ourselves and practice it ourselves. I think it's so important, particularly, and I guess maybe sometimes I begin to sound like one of those old guys, but I think we really need to instill in our children a sense of responsibility. That's lost in our culture. No one wants to take responsibility for anything. Oh, we want to take credit when things are good, but no one seems to want to take responsibility. And when blame is placed, they seem to try to find a way to excuse it or justify it away in some area. So we need to teach our children the value of responsibility. And when they understand responsibility, and it begins early in the home by having them do chores around the home that become their responsibility, even something so simple maybe as keeping their bed made or cleaning up the room, that sort of thing, that teaches responsibility. And that will carry them far in life if they'll learn those things. I think also lost in our culture is the understanding that there are consequences to our choices. Particularly consequences to our choices for the purpose of our discussion today when it comes to choosing to do right versus doing wrong. That we must teach that there are consequences to sin. I don't mean that we just have to continually browbeat them about hell and scare them to death about hell, although we should be scared of hell. And Paul certainly understood that, as he said, knowing the terror of the Lord, I persuade men. And so we need to teach and instill in our children that there are consequences to their choices, and particularly those spiritual choices, that there are consequences to sin. We need to teach our children about temptation, about the things that they're going to face in life. There are part of that is in teaching a process of decision making, and that begins very early. But as our children begin to mature into those adolescent years, and especially before they enter into the teen years, we need to teach them about what temptation is. That it is real, and Satan is just waiting for us to weaken so that he can take advantage of those things. And so we need to teach our children the reality of temptation. And we need to teach them how Jesus endured temptation and how he dealt with temptation. We also, I believe, need to correct negative tendencies in our children. You know, there are a lot of people who are experts at finding everything there is that's wrong in our world. Our world would be so much better off if we had more people looking for what's right in our world. And I kind of put that on myself as well, that I seem to, from my growing up years, there's this sort of a negativity that we learn that to pick things apart and so forth. And for me personally, it's been a lifelong struggle to try to stay on the positive and keep things more positive and look for the good in things rather than the bad. I think it's also important that we establish early on and maintain good communication skills. I know families, and some of my own, in my own personal flesh and blood family, and in our church families, there'll be little children who will begin to talk and put sentences together at a very early age. And when they don't begin to communicate in the way that we think they should, we get a little bit concerned. And sometimes they're 3 years old or so, and they're not communicating in a way that we think they should communicate, and yet they're able to convey all of their needs, and they just don't, sometimes just don't see any need to talk and communicate in that form. But communication begins early in a child's life. And parents, especially daddies, need to keep open communication with their children and make their children know that you're accessible, that you're willing to hear and listen and pay attention to the things that they're struggling with. As I said earlier in our lesson, I know parenting is difficult. And it has its trials, and you know, sometimes parents think, well, boy, when the children get a little older, it won't be so hard. There are few things more difficult than raising teenagers. I love our teenagers, but that's a difficult time in their lives. It's a difficult time in parents' lives as they want to sort of test their wings and get a little further from the nest. And mom and dad may not be ready for them to get further from the nest. And all of those struggles that come with parenting. The perfect parent hasn't been born. As I said earlier in the lesson, none of us who have reared children have been perfect in rearing our children. Most all of us can look back at things that we've done in our parenting lives that we wish we could undo or redo, but we don't have that option. Hopefully we'll be honest and objective with ourselves, that we'll look honestly at ourselves as we're rearing our children and be willing to make those necessary changes while we can, rather than wait until we're 15, 60, 70 years old and look backward and say, boy, you know, if I'd have just known. Well, we need to pay attention and we need to be honest and objective. Children are intended to be a joy. As we cited Psalm 127, the psalmist there says that it's a joyful thing, that they are the heritage of the Lord. And when we rear our children well, and we teach them about God and instill a faith in them, and there's also a time that our children's faith needs to become their personal faith. They're sort of, if you will, nursing off of our faith for many years. But they come to a point in their middle to late teen years that their faith needs to become their faith. That they're not just leaning on mom and dad, and I do this because mom and dad make me do it and so forth. But they do things because of their faith. And that's a transition that needs to take place in every life. But as I was saying, when we rear our children well and teach them and instill faith in them to where they're faithful Christians in their adult life, I would refer to that kind of a situation as the gift that keeps on giving. That it's a joy when to watch your faithful Christian children rear your grandchildren in those same biblical principles and truths that you instilled in them. I know in parenting there's a lot of frustration. There's a lot of challenges. We have so many broken homes, and we have so many homes that where one or the other of the parents it maybe is not a Christian. Some non-Christian parents are very supportive of the Christian parent and help and try to do things to encourage that faithfulness in the children, even though they're not a Christian. But then there are other parents who are not Christians and don't want any part of Christianity. They don't want their children to have any part in Christianity. And those are very frustrating situations for faithful Christian parents to deal with. There are frustrations in rearing children. The obstacles that we face in our world, they seem to grow in number with each passing week. There are more challenges to parenting and more challenges that our children face. And so we have to deal with those challenges. We have to help our children. I see and hear of parents literally doing the children's homework. I hear of parents who are doing projects for their children, maybe a science project or a history project, something that's required on the part of their school teacher, and here are the parents doing the project. That doesn't teach the child anything. I mean, from an aspect of book learning, certainly. but as far as overcoming the challenges in life and meeting those obstacles and dealing with those. It's certainly fine to help them, but it needs to be help and not doing the project for them. Sadly, when that beautiful little baby comes out of the womb, there is an umbilical cord, but there's no string attached that has an owner's manual with it. God's Word is the only owner's manual there is. They don't come with a warranty. There are no guarantees. But you, and as we have a new baby in our congregation just in the past week or so, and you see that little infant. This little one was born a little over 6 pounds. And you look at that little infant and you think about the next 16 years or so that you're going to be molding and shaping that little child. A lot of that molding and shaping takes place in the first 3 and 4 and 5 years. Those are such important. We refer to them as the formative years. The Bible is the best manual for raising a child. Some parents in the Bible we can look at and we can say those are things that we should not do. Look at David. David, the great man that he was, the great warrior that he was, the great king that he was, a man after God's own heart. And yet, he didn't do so well in the child-rearing category. His sons and daughters, the problems in his household. So, let's learn from those things. And let's learn from others who did a good job of parenting. Hannah, for example, in the Old Testament. So, let's talk about some objectives with our rearing our children. First of all, my number one objective as a parent, your number one objective as a parent, as a Christian parent, is to get your child to heaven. And you can't do that for them like the school project, but you have to help them with the challenges and you have to instill that faith in them and teach them about God's Word. We've already talked about that to some degree. We live in what I've seen referred to, it's not original with me, but we live in a septic culture. What I mean by that is, you know, if an infection gets in our body, and maybe because of some ailment in the body or in the bloodstream, we get an infection in the body cavity or in the bloodstream. It's sometimes referred to as being septic. Well, that's the way our culture is. And the more of our culture we allow to creep into our children, the more septic it is with them and the more destructive it becomes with them. And so we have to take very seriously the obligation we have to God, the obligation we have to our children, to see that they have all the tools, everything necessary, so they can make good choices that will lead them to the heavenly gates someday. Our culture is so depraved. The morality is just... it's just non-existent. We are almost amoral. We're in a time of moral chaos that people, even within the Lord's church, who have compromised the things that they've been taught all of their lives that are right and good and true and biblical and moral, and yet look at where our people have drifted to in regards to moral issues. Sin is destructive. This statement I make quite frequently that some people sort of challenge, but I contend that everything bad in our world comes from the result of sin, the result of Satan's influence. Everything about sin is destructive. Oh, we sometimes can see some positive things. It's, you know, a person may tell a lie and that will help them out of a situation or maybe get them a job promotion. Wow, what a wonderful thing that you lied to get a job promotion. You see, sin is destructive. It's always destructive. That's what God wants us to know about sin. You know, our children are born flawless. They are born sinlessly perfect. Now, there are some religions that teach otherwise. There is the doctrine of hereditary sin. There's nothing in the Bible that teaches that. In fact, the Bible teaches just the opposite. And I can't tell you, we have this phrase we use, it's not a Bible phrase, although I believe the concept is biblical. We talk about the age of accountability. Well, the age of accountability is a time, and it's different for every child, but it's a time when they become accountable for their sin. Oh, little children sin, little children tell lies very, very early on. When you ask little Johnny, did you do that? And he says, no. when you know he did it, that is a lie. But is he accountable? That becomes the question. Is he old enough to be accountable to God? But we know that they're born sinless, in spite of what false doctrines out there in the religious world teach. Children are born sinless. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20 and following in that context teaches very clearly. It says there that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not inherit the sins of the father, nor the father the sins of the child. So we're each responsible for our own choices and our own actions. I don't have to account for Adam's sin. I don't have to account for Eve's sin. I have to account for my sin. I don't account for my grandfather's sin nor my father, nor do I have to account for my son's sins. I have to account for my sins. Children are born perfect, spiritually perfect. In Romans chapter 2 at verse 6, there it says, "Who will render to every man according to his deeds?" Speaking about God. Render to every man according to his deeds. That's what we need to understand. And those consequences, the negative, the destructive things that come from sin, oh, sometimes they bleed over out of our lives and affect other people. But by and large, we directly are affected by that destructive nature and the consequences of our sins. Sometimes with physical ailments, sometimes with accidents and things that happen in life. A lot of those things are the result of our poor choices. And so we need to understand that I alone am accountable for my sins. What I want to get into, and we won't have time in this lesson, and we'll get into it next in the next program. But we're going to talk some about sexuality. You know, we preachers, I find that I end up talking about things in sermons and in Bible school classes. We end up talking about things that I never would have dreamed we'd have to talk about, particularly in mixed company. I never dreamed that we would talk about some of the things we have to talk about in a public Sunday school class or in sermons during our worship from the pulpit. And yet we find ourselves in that very predicament, that there are things that we must talk about that are uncomfortable, that don't set well. Some of those subjects involve sexuality. What I want to deal with we've just laid the groundwork, but in the next couple of programs, what I want to deal with more specifically is we're going to be dealing with homosexuality, a big issue in our world today. And who of us 20 or 30 or 40 years ago would have ever thought we'd even say the word homosexual in our worship, and yet we find it necessary now. And it's very important that preachers and teachers and elders and congregations teach what the Bible teaches about this subject. And I think it's also important that we record and that we keep records of when we have taught and document our files on when we have taught what the Bible teaches on this subject in particular. And so it is terribly important that you teach your children about sexuality. We'll talk more about that in more detail in the coming lesson. But it's your responsibility as a parent. I know those things are uncomfortable. We used to say, have the talk. Or we'll talk about the birds and the bees. And sometimes that's as far as we get, is talking about birds and bees. Parents, we have a responsibility. And in our world and the promiscuity in our world and the amoral culture in which we live, it's all the more important that we teach our children about sexuality. I mean heterosexuality. I mean homosexuality. We need to be sure we understand those things and what God says about them, because God made us sexual beings. And since we are sexual beings, we need to be teaching our children, because I will guarantee you, they will learn somewhere. It'll be either be in the bathroom or the locker room at school or out behind the barn with a neighbor kid or somewhere. They're going to learn about sexuality. And it is our responsibility as Christians to teach our children adequately and fully about homosexuality, so they know what to expect and how to live their lives. And we need to teach them what God expects of mankind in regard to sexuality. We've only sort of touched the hem of the garment, so to speak, on this subject, and we're going to do a couple of more programs along this line. So I can't tell you when they're going to air and so forth, but stay tuned and look for these subjects, because they are so important. And we're going to get into how parents deal with the sexual problems in their children's lives and how that affects their family and their home and so forth. We as parents have an awesome responsibility. Christian parents have an awesome responsibility of teaching our children how to grow up and live in this crazy, amoral world in which they live. This program hasn't been about God's plan for the salvation of man, although in a sense it has, in that we're teaching what we have to do to help our children come to salvation in a right relationship with God based on the truth of God's Word. This program was designed from the very beginning to try to deal with difficult subjects for the storms of life, as our title of our program even indicates. And so we oftentimes deal with some very difficult emotional subjects, things that are sometimes hard to talk about. This subject the same. In this program and the next few programs, we're going to be talking about the subject of homosexuality in our children and how we deal with that as Christians. As Christian parents, God's plan for the salvation of man is really very simple. First of all, we have to hear God's Word. And from hearing His Word, we have to come to a belief. The Bible calls that faith. Belief and faith come from the same Greek word in our Bibles. But Bible faith is a faith that takes action. So when we come to faith from learning God's Word, that faith takes action in the form of repentance, changing our lives into the image of Jesus, a continual lifelong process. That faith takes action in the form of confessing Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That faith takes action in the form of responding to what the Bible teaches about baptism, immersion, being baptized for the remission of sins, just as the Bible teaches. It's the only way we can get to heaven. But it doesn't stop there. That faith that I mentioned a moment ago, that faith will push us to live the faithful Christian life to the day we depart this world, this life. So I hope you'll keep tuned in future programs.